It is indeed good to be loved by our Father. And I'm glad to be here this morning. For those of you who prayed for me and reached out, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here, standing here, feeling pretty good. Let's start with prayer, shall we? Father, we are thankful for our earthly fathers that you have given us. You have provided for us so much in our earthly fathers, in the family structure that you've created. Lord, we are thankful that you have called us to yourself, our Heavenly Father. I ask, Lord, that you would be with us now, be with me as we consider our fathers, and you, our Heavenly Father, on this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Father's Day, a day to be thankful for our fathers and celebrate their wonderful influence in our lives. They're a gift from God Himself. I'm thankful for my father, my earthly father. I'm thankful for the love that he had for me. I'm thankful for the training that he gave me. My father's gone now. Lost him 5 years ago with the first part of the pandemic, but his impact on my life is not gone. So I'm going to share with you my father. This is him. The one on the left was a photo of him probably when he was 18 or 19 during the Second World War. He was a cook on a destroyer. Served in for a long time in the military, and at the right you see him there much later playing his violin in the church with the church band in the worship team. He was a patriot, served in three wars, from the time he was 18 until he was 48 in 1970, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. He was a strong disciplinarian. I used to call him Sergeant Burns, and I appreciated that he was strict with me. He worked hard at everything that he did. He focused on whatever he took on, whether it was his military service, the handyman business that he started after military service, in his recreational pursuits. My dad was a world champion competition shooter, and he took that on with all of his strength. Even till later, he would go in his walker and shoot. He served in later years in his church. He drove the church bus. We hope to get one someday. Part of the worship team. He was a servant. All this because of his upbringing, having been raised by a family who were pioneers, came out to California in wagon trains. They valued work, family, outdoor life, but no spiritual guidance. None from his family, and none in his life until later. My father loved me. And out of that love, he taught me everything that he thought was important for success in this life on earth. More than just teaching, I was trained by practice and discipline in those things that he thought were important for life. Hard work, integrity, service, mechanical skills of all kinds, hunting and fishing. Yes, hunter, fishing. I did try the polarized glasses, but still when the fish saw me, they swam right away. All that worked out, my dad's training. I've had reasonable success in each of these areas. Not perfect by any means. I've had some lapses over the years. But the training of a loving father is valuable. And we have this saying from Proverbs that teaches us. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Loving fathers and parents always want the best for their children and work to train them up the best that they are able. But the best fathers are limited in their wisdom and ability. I am an example of that. But our Heavenly Father is not in any way. I didn't come to trust the Lord in my childhood. It was later when I was in the military service overseas that my Heavenly Father called me to himself. And while all that training that my earthly father gave me was of worldly value, my Heavenly Father started me in another boot camp. Life's teaching on things of eternal value. I came to trust Jesus Christ when I was 21 in 1975. I came to value God over all those other things that were important to me before. When God blessed me with a wife and a wonderful family, my concern in training my children took on a different aspect from that of my father before me. A wise father knows what his children will face in life and the need for their relationship with the Lord. Part of his loving training will be preparing them for the difficulties that are ahead. How do we view the difficulties that we'll face in this life? How do we react to the difficulties that we will face? The Bible gives a lot of instructions to fathers on their relationships with their children. And the wisest of fathers works to follow this godly instruction. There's too much to cover in this sermon about the teaching of fatherhood, so I did choose a passage that I thought would be helpful for us to focus on. And let me tell you, friends, I could not prepare my sons fully for what they have and what they will face in life, but I can point them to our Heavenly Father who can and is doing exactly that. And I think they are examples far beyond me. What does he have to say to us? Let's look in this. I got a good book about it. Maybe you can start finding in your Bible this passage from Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to look at verses 3 through 11. I don't know what page it's on in the Pew Bibles, but if you got it on your phone or the Bible that you brought, or we'll put some up here too. When I drop a sermon, when I'm asked to preach, which is not often, it's interesting because it's always a time to set the context of the book or the verse or the passage that I'm going to preach from. Hebrews is tough in that regard. We want to know who wrote the letter. What was the occasion of the letter? When was it written? Exactly who are the recipients? Well, Hebrews, it's been debated for a long time. I think Paul probably wrote it, but that's a different question. But here's this jewel that we have in the letter of Hebrews to the Hebrews. The theological content is pretty clear. And so I chose a passage to talk about the facing difficulties and conflicts, about fathers and our Heavenly Father, about discipline and training. So let's look together at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3 through 11. I don't even know if you can. Oh, yeah, I guess you can read that. I can't read it back there. Let me read. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of saints and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. There is so much here. Pastor Jason one time gave me one verse. I spent a half an hour on it. So this has 9, so is that 4.5 hours? I'll try just to get it a little tighter than that. Let me bring you to the first point, and that is I see that the writer here is encouraging us to take a different view of difficulties and persecution in this life. Friends, we have a loving Father who is sovereign over every detail of our lives. He has made every provision for us. And the Father has given us a hero in Christ Jesus who persevered all kinds of persecution and difficulties in this life, all to the Father's purpose and for our benefit. Jesus never failed, never failed in obedience. Jesus never failed nor despaired. And he always loved his Father and was obedient to him. He is our example, my hero and my Savior. And in this life, we have not, you and I have not, and we will not have to endure the kinds of things that our Lord endured. We can hang tough looking to Jesus and considering our difficulties, as the Apostle Paul did, calling them light afflictions. The difficulties of this life are part of the Father's training of us. The writer here, again, I think Paul, quotes Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 through 12, which was Solomon's instructions to his own son. He explains that the training or discipline that our difficulties bring are part of our loving Father's work in our lives. While the sin that the writer refers to here appears to be that of the world's persecution for our faith, James gives us a little bit of a wider view. There it is. James says this: "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing." So James here says trials of various kinds. I believe that this includes all of life's difficulties, those that are a result of our faith and the world's antagonism towards Jesus, and those that are just part of life in this fallen world. It took a long time for me to get this, to understand the role of life's difficulties in the Father's training. But looking back, I'm thankful for those difficult experiences in my life. I see the benefits, and I wouldn't trade them away for anything, because the results were helpful to me. I've had a lot of this kind of training. Partly because I'm hard-headed, not just because I've taken some hard physical hits to my head and other parts, I could tell you about that later, but because the Father had to teach me using some difficulties that were unpleasant and painful at the time. True, faithful following of the Lord and submission to Him, even in difficulties, yields great blessings in steadfastness and perfection. But there is a risk, and the risk that the writer of Hebrews and Solomon in this proverb identify is that without a proper understanding of God's working, we will despair. We will not persevere. We will abandon our faith. We can think sometimes that God is against us, bringing us harm without seeing the good that God is working out. The call here is not to be weary, but to trust God in all things. It is difficult to count it all joy when we're facing trials, as James calls us to, but we can remain faithful, believing that God is working and that the results will bring us peace and joy. I gotta make sure I push the right button here. We're in training. There. I think that's the right one. Let me see. I can't see that well. That happens to you when you get older, I think. But the writer brings this out. He says that we know we are God's children because of discipline in our lives. So the writer here explains that God's discipline in our lives assures us of being his children. Fathers, not usually grandfathers, by the way, and certainly not somebody else's father, disciplines children for the very purpose of preparing them for life in this world. Children abandoned or unloved by their parents are left without this loving correction in their lives. And the results, friends, are not good, without intercession. Even if our father's discipline is hard sometimes, it yields a maturity that serves well. The writer of Hebrews points out that we received worldly discipline, like I did, from our earthly fathers, and as we grow, we come to respect that work that they did in our lives because we reap the benefits. I reflected on my own parenting and biblical guidance for fathers, and I had to come face to face with my own shortcomings, my own limitations. I'm so thankful, friends, that God has guided my sons far beyond any guidance that I could give them. They're all three men of faith. You know Sean, of course. You may know Scott, my son, Stephen, my youngest son. They're all three men of faith and leading their families in different but God-focused ways. Fathers leading their children to know and trust God give them an opportunity far beyond anything that they can ever provide. How much greater must we value the discipline and training that God gives us? It goes far beyond anything that we as fathers can give. The writer of Hebrews tells us this. He says that God's discipline, the Father's discipline, can lead us to share in his holiness. Such a promise, friends, is beyond understanding. How can we share in the holiness of God? Friends, it's only through the love and the care of the Father and the gift of salvation and righteousness through Christ Jesus that we can realize being included in God's blessing, to receive God's holiness through him, to be counted as his children. This we come to by faith, by trust in the Lord's work for us. Part of that discipline is being made Christ-like, part of that training. The Holy Spirit works in our lives as a gift of being God's children to allow us and to see the certain difficulties that we face as part of God's work in our lives. If God is training us, then we are God's children. And we have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. We are not illegitimate children. We are children of the Most High, loved and trained by him, including giving us discipline to train us. How can James call us to be joyful in the middle of life's difficulties? Here we have the answer. We can be assured that our Heavenly Father knows us, loves us, treats us as children, children who have an inheritance of Christ's righteousness and eternal life with the Lord. The third point I see here is that we need to keep our eye on the promise. In this passage, the writer brings us to this conclusion. Painful as it might be, discipline yields righteousness as its fruit, and that righteousness is peaceful. Peace with God as his beloved children. Pastor Jason was talking about the stress we have as we look out at the world and all that's going on inside our country, outside of our country. What do we desire? We desire righteousness. We desire peace. We desire in our hearts God. He is righteous. He is the giver of peace. And we look forward to being there with him eternally, to have peace with God as his beloved children. As we face life's difficulties, we're called not to despair, not to grow weary, but rather to know that God is training us for holiness. God gives us peace even in this life of turmoil, a peace that passes understanding. Coming back to the Apostle Paul, he understood this well. He writes to us, that worked. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. You'll find out about that as you get older, by the way. Our inner self is being renewed day by day, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And Peter, in this letter, he says this, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Some of life's greatest difficulties have to do with following Jesus in faith. It necessarily brings us into conflict with the unbelieving world. Here, the Hebrews were being encouraged to keep the faith, to hang in there. Jesus talked about it a lot, and that's an encouragement to us as well. So driving towards conclusion, let me share a story about somebody whose faith was made strong through trials and difficulties. You may have examples in your own life, but this person was someone who's been a model of faith in my life. I shared a little bit about my earthly father. Let me share something about my mom. Yeah, on Father's Day, let me talk about my mom. I love my mom. She's gone too. My mom got married young, married her high school sweetheart, and he died in the Second World War in a naval accident. My brother, not long after, died of polio. He was crying to my mother to hold him through glass, isolated from him. My mother couldn't tell this story without tears in her eyes to the day that she died. These were tragic incidents in my mom's life. There were others. My mom despaired. She was angry with God. How could this happen? Friends, God is gracious and patient, and I am so thankful for that. With me, and he was with her. And over time, my mother became an example of faith. God worked a great peace in my mother's life as she saw these difficulties and trials properly. She had an ability to deal with tough times that was amazing in her later years, in her years of faith. Went through a lot of health issues. She lost another husband after a failed marriage with my dad. He died with my mother giving him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. She called me one day and she said, Jim, Julian has died. And I was so sad. And she said, no, Jim, it's okay. I'm just thankful for the time that I had with him, because God had helped her understand that he was working in her life and had given her a future. The night before she died, she looked up. She had some sort of an angelic visitation. She said, I just want to go home. I want to go home. And she demonstrated to me that no matter what you're going through, God has you. He's training you. We are his children. She'd been trained by God through those difficulties. But she had her eyes on Jesus, and with a faith that was refined by those very difficulties that she faced. So friends, how do you face the difficulties in this life? Do you know that your Heavenly Father is working to train you and prepare you for heaven, to bring you training and correction? Or do you see life's difficulties as an evil that has come upon you? Are you thankful for the Father's training? Are you angry that your life doesn't meet your expectations? This passage is part of the conclusion of the entire letter to the Hebrews. The author has laid out a careful defense here of the superiority and the sufficiency of Jesus over all else. The audience here was struggling with trials and received this encouragement. Friends, receive this encouragement from God. The promise of Jesus Christ and our eternal inheritance in Him. How do we keep a godly focus? How do we keep from becoming discouraged? It's not easy in the middle of painful difficulties, trials, and persecution, but the answer is clear. Keep your eyes on Jesus. So I go back to the passage just before this one. And the writer here tells us, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, if you trust Jesus, trust in the Father's training through life's difficulty. If you haven't come to trust Jesus and are struggling with despair, with life's difficulties, let me invite you to consider Jesus. By faith, we come to trust and rest on Him for our salvation, for our righteousness that He gives us. He brings us to have a very relationship and peace with God, a peace that endures, an eternal peace. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for your provision and example in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your training in life's difficulties, training in holiness and resulting in peaceful righteousness. Thank you, Father, that you have given us your promises that we can look forward to as we live out our lives for you, regardless of the difficulties that we face. Amen. So now, friends, if you've got your Father, celebrate them and honor them this day. They are a gift from God. If you don't have your Father anymore, like me, then consider all that they have contributed to you in your life and be thankful. If you are a father, then guide your children and your grandchildren to our Heavenly Father, who loves them and trains them in a way that we cannot.